So tonight we come to remember the death of Jesus, the night when God's heart was truly broken. And I'm not sure how to think about the cross except as complete tragedy. Like the only sinless person given an unjust death sentence by an angry crowd and a jealous religious leadership and an onlooking Roman Empire. Like, this just feels like darkness or despair. Like the night when God is broken. And I can imagine the hope being that when Jesus takes on flesh and bone, that the world would accept him, right? That God's hope is that humans might fall in line, that we might be willing to follow Christ and put the world right. But that's not the world we live in. The world we live in tends to want to crush goodness or holiness or love. That evil and violence and despair, the powers and the principalities of this world, don't take fondly to things like justice or the cry of the poor. And so it's probably not a surprise that Jesus isn't welcomed, but in fact is rejected and broken and beaten and humiliated. But in that willingness to die and to be victimized publicly, to be shamed like that, I believe that Jesus becomes the Lord of every other person who's been victimized. Jesus becomes the Savior and the Deliverer of every marginalized person, because he too was marginalized. He too was broken and ignored and rejected. You know, like, the question I get more than any other from students, and I assume you ask this and maybe you get this as a Christian, is, you know, why is there so much pain in the world? I mean, if God is a God of love, and if God is powerful and God can change things, then why is the world so out of control? And this seems even more acutely true. Like, I feel it all the more in a time of pandemic. Why all the pain? And I, you know, like, as someone who spends a lot of time teaching and thinking about this, I don't have a good answer. I really wish I could give you, like, the theological solution, right? Like, well, God gave us free will or something like that. Free will doesn't really help me much with a disease that's run amok. I don't know how that has anything to do with free will, right? I don't know what to say in light of so much tragedy at times. And so I really believe, like, the best response that I've got for you is Good Friday. I don't know why there is so much pain. I do know this, though, that the God I worship didn't hang out in heaven and look down on all of us like lost in the dark and say, oh, you know, oh, poor humans, like if only they could get it right. We worship a God who saw that we were lost and that we were broken and took on the human condition, like became a baby that had to be cared for by other humans, that took on mortality and pain, that we do not suffer alone, that whatever it is you are going through, have gone through, will go through, God has endured it. We worship a God who suffers right alongside us. So while the cross itself feels like tragedy to me, there's some hope in a God who makes the choice to love that way, and then calls each of us to love that way too. Right? This becomes like a call on our life. The weird paradoxical notion that if you want to be set free, then go to the cross. That's how your chains are broken. It's like a relinquishing of myself and my desires and my life. And that's how I reclaim it, like in God. So I want to look just briefly at this set of scriptures. You know, I like to read stuff about Jesus that's really nice. Like, hey, love your neighbor. Don't judge, lest ye be judged. It's a little bit harder when Jesus is telling women, oh, don't weep for me. It'll be worse for you. There'll become a day when you won't want to ever be pregnant. You won't want to ever give birth to a child into this world. Like, don't mourn for me, weep for yourself, right? not the greatest picture painted. And the question, I've been wrestling with this now for like 14 days, this question, if men act like this when the tree is green, how much worse when it's dry? Like, how will you act when the tree is dry? Because they're dragging me to the cross and it's green, right? And so I keep asking myself this question about how am I going to live now that the tree is dry? How shall we live and what shall we do? One of the things that I think we might be able to learn is how Christ responds when the tree is dry. When the night looks its darkest. When his friends have left him alone. You want to talk about social distancing? Look at Peter before the cross as Jesus is arrested. His disciples scatter. Almost all of them, except for the women who stay near the cross. But he is isolated. He is broken. The night is its darkest. And from the cross, Jenny just read it, from the cross, he extends love and forgiveness to a crowd who he doesn't call wicked, who he doesn't call evil. He calls them ignorant. Forgive them, Father, they don't know what they are doing. I pray that when the tree is its driest, like it is right now, that Christians might be at our best. That when things look the darkest, we bring hope. That when it seems as though maybe we can't go any further, we put one foot in front of the next. We rise to the occasion. We rise as a community. We become salt and light for a world that desperately needs it. Salt and light, even when things are dry. I have a prayer I'd like to close with. It's a prayer from Gregory Coles. He's a United Methodist pastor. And this moved me, and I hope you might take something from it. So let's pray. Today, God, we ask that you would teach us to mourn. Don't let us rush to Easter Sunday too quickly. Give us grace to linger here in the place where sorrow meets redemption. Make your death as real for us as your resurrection. Keep us always near the cross. As we wait at the foot of the cross, reveal to us again the costliness of sin. Don't let us live in an imaginary world where Easter's happy ending makes our selfishness irrelevant. Remind us that your all-consuming grace came at a high price. Forgive us for the times we've lived as if sin was no big deal, as if Good Friday never happened. Fill us with the joy and sorrow and reverence and gratitude that befit a Good Friday funeral. Joy for your victory, sorrow for your death, reverence for your holiness, and gratitude for your grace. Don't let us settle for just one of these emotions at the expense of the other. Give us hearts big enough to hold all of these emotions in tension. Jesus, you tell us to take up our cross and follow you. Today, more than ever, we remember what a weighty invitation that is. You won by dying. And it's only by dying that we can follow in your footsteps. It's only by dying that we'll ever truly come alive. Teach us, God, to mourn and celebrate your death. Then take us by the hand, lead us towards our own deaths, and teach us to mourn and celebrate that too. Amen. Let's close with a song, Were You There? Thank you.